Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris. This is going to be a very, very powerful episode. And for some of you listening, it might hit close to home. And if maybe not with you directly, maybe with someone that you know or that you're close to who really needs to hear this message. Now, this is with one of my best buddies, and he had overcome some crazy adversity as a kid growing up, and just like stuff you wouldn't imagine. Him and his wife, Kelly, built this very successful business out here in Arizona, ended up selling it to a Fortune 500 company a few years ago. They're still in the business, still running it, still involved in the day-to-day, but they had to overcome the unimaginable. Their 13-year-old daughter a few years ago committed suicide at 13. Yet they still have these, you know, all these mouths to feed in this business in the midst of all this adversity. Like, it just, so much pressure on them. And I mean, think about it. This is like one of the most tragic things that can happen. And in this episode, we talk about it. And Charlie opens up about what he went through, how they're able to get through it, how they, you know, cope with it today. And, you know, our hope was, with this story, this episode, that it's not just a really great story of overcoming adversity and doing something good with a crappy situation, but that's the hope, is that this lands with one of you listening who need this message right now, or you know someone that needs this message right now. So that way, a really crappy situation can be used for good, and that's the hope of this episode. So enjoy this one with one of my best buddies, Charlie Sanders. Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. We are in a new setting today. Actually, we are in my house in my bourbon bar that used to be the formal dining room here at Casa de Llano. But who needs a formal dining room when you can have a bourbon bar?
Exactly.
And this is going to be a really cool episode. Actually, this is going to be this whole episode is going to be different than anything you've ever heard. I would say when I was preparing for this episode, it was probably one of the most difficult episodes I've ever prepared for, which is crazy because I'm sitting with one of my best buddies.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think it'd
come easy. And we got some bourbon.
Yeah.
We should have started drinking before, because then I could have been loosened up a little bit.
Same.
But what's crazy is that I think what made me start to think about having you on as a guest was you, before I kind of get into any other shit, like, we went to, so every year, so Charlie and his wife, Kelly, are one of our best friends, like our closest friends. So if you ever watch me on our social media page, the family that we travel with all the time, that's Charlie and Kelly. And so our family has been close a long time. And so we go on these trips, but every year we go to Castle Hot Springs, which is out here in Arizona. Cool ass old resort, like old Western resort that they refurbish, and now it's all super fancy.
Yeah, first resort.
Way too fancy for us, by the way.
Absolutely.
Way too fancy. First resort. So like, who was it? The Rockefellers used to go out there, and like Kennedys, I think it was.
Kennedys,
like,
yeah.
All kinds of cool people. But it's like in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and there's a hot spring there. Yeah. So, but ironically, Charlie, who's our guest, and I'll go over more of his stuff today, who's also, again, one of my best friends, grew up out that way, and there's like nothing out there. It's nothing. Like a fucking literally the desert. Like, when you think of the desert, that's what it is. But I guess they call it Morristown. So
yes,
so we have designated Charlie the mayor of Morristown. but we went out there in your Razor, and we're driving through like the wash in the middle of nowhere, you know. And you said, "Hey, like this is where I grew up," and I'm like, "Where you grew up? Like what the fuck? What are you talking about, right, dude? It's the desert, and it's like a wash." So we get out and we look at it, and you're like, talking about, oh, right here used to be like these little white rocks were like the pathway or whatever it was. And I'm like still trying to, and by the way, producer Ryan, we have to put a picture of this up. I got to find the picture. Do you have a picture of it?
I got somewhere. Originally I had the original house, a picture of the original house somewhere. I think we got a painting for the family.
Was it an actual house? Like, yeah. Was it big?
It was a,
No, it didn't look big. It looked tiny.
No, it was a one bedroom, living room area and a kitchen. That was it. But that was before they tore it down. That was all that was
there. It's crazy. Well, they tore it down because there's nothing there.
Like, well, correct. And it's BLM land. So,
got it.
Yeah, our family had a 99-year lease. So that lease crazy. Went up and they just said, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a whole other topic.
We're going to fix it.
But, you know, and that's why I was like, you know, you were incredibly successful. And by all means and statistics, you shouldn't be. And so I want to talk through some of these things. So many of you that are listening right now are going to relate on this, to put this podcast on so many levels. And that's why I wanted to do it. And, you know, and Charlie's probably went through one of the worst tragedies you can ever go through with the loss of a child. And, you know, but as business owners of big companies, lots of people, like, it's like real life just met business and like, which one becomes a priority? How do you get through like all these things? Right. And us too. Right. I mean, because yeah. we, you know, obviously we had to deal with it too. But at least we got to go through this whole thing together. And just the way that, you and Kelly worked through this whole thing was so admirable to me that I was like, this story is going to land with a lot of people. And so I wanted to tell it. So we're going to talk about a few things. Number one, we're recording this right before opening day for our beloved Arizona Cardinals to kick off against the Kansas City Chiefs here in the Valley. So I'm excited for that. And then, so we're going to go to the game tomorrow. We're going to celebrate. The girls are going to go with us and we're going to kick off the season. I pray to God the Cardinals actually have a good season. Yeah. Right. That's number one.
Show some improvement.
I hope so. Anything like that. So that's, you know, number one. I know that what's also cool is when like my, I have like this, you know, circle of friends in business who some that have become, I've really, you know, become really close with like Tommy and you've gotten to know Tommy and Tommy's, you know, they finally got season tickets right down there by us. So it's cool to kind of have everybody mixed together. You went over for Super Bowl too, didn't you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they had the shot luge.
Yeah. Yep. Shot luge.
The infamous shot luge.
We got a hunt coming up.
That's right. Yeah. Down in Texas. So that's going to be exciting. That ought to be interesting.
Interesting. Learn a whole nother side of everybody when you go.
Well, Charlie is like the, he's like the man's man of the group. Okay. And I'm trying to be as much as I can, but Charlie's my guy.
I'm your guy.
He's one to make sure I have all my hunting apparel, but this is going to actually make sense once I kind of walk through your story. So I want to share with all the listeners right now, you know, what's going to be great about this particular episode is, you know, Charlie and his wife, Kelly, grew a big business, right? And you guys were in the like underground utility, you know, space, you know, that's the fancy word for digging trenches.
Trenches, yeah. Trench company.
company, you know, working with like APS, some of the big, you know, but you built a great business, like, you know, built this thing up to, I think, close to like $30 million when you sold the business. And digging trenches, that's a shitload of trenches to dig.
A lot of trenches. It's a lot of trenches.
And become the mayor of Morristown. But, you know, I just want to share a little bit with the listeners, you know, because I know they're always kind of interested in what does somebody's journey look like. And here's why I think this episode is going to be so key for you to hear. Again, like I said, statistically, like he should not be in the position that he's in, or maybe he should be because of what you learned and went through as a kid. So I want to take a little walk down memory lane with you, if that's okay. Cool. Yeah. So I talk about you growing up, you know, in the middle of the desert. And when you would tell me about your, like you as a kid, you have, you have this like little house in the middle of nowhere. That's a wash. I can't wait till everybody sees a picture so they can kind of see what I'm talking about. You know, you had to take care of your brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to drive, you're driving in fourth grade to get to the bus stop. Fourth grade.
Yeah. I mean, where we went to school was, I mean, it was 9 miles away. So at some point got to get the brothers to school.
Yeah.
So.
Well, why don't your parents take you? Because you're in fourth grade, bro.
Right. Well, my mom stayed there. My stepdad was a prison guard at Perryville. And so he just left on his schedule. It didn't matter what our schedule was. So
got it.
So sometimes, or they would be gone. I mean, there were several times where I was in charge of the kids for a couple of days. Brother for a couple days.
That's incredible, dude. And he wasn't very, He was kind of an abusive dude too, right?
Oh, he was a typical movie prison guard. Oh, just imagine he's 6'3", 6'4", 250. And pretty much acted like we were also prisoners.
Oh, Jesus.
So it was,
one of those deals you had to walk on eggshells?
Well, I mean, it didn't matter if we were walked on eggshells or we were being good. We were always in the wrong.
So that sucks. That's a shitty situation to be in. And what's always crazy too is, remember you tell me, cause you play football, that it being 9 miles away from school is, and once football is over, then you had to walk. You walk 9 miles back?
Because, I mean, if we weren't where he parked, where we were supposed to be picked up at the time that he came home, he went on his way. Well, after football, I mean, I'm not getting home until 5 o'clock. So back to Morristown from Wickenburg. And then you had to walk. So I did that most of my freshman season. And then by then I had my license and had started getting a car. So at least I could get back and forth.
That blows me away. Like 9 miles is a journey. I mean, especially after practice, like after.
I mean, it helped. It helped my conditioning. I mean, I was probably in better shape than half the guys. Cause I mean, I was putting in a lot more work.
See what immediately makes me think of is, like, I think about your mental, like, fortitude, your mental toughness, because, like, you had no other choice. Like, right. Here you are in the situation where you're almost having to grow up faster because you're having to take care of your brothers. You know, you're having to be responsible for yourself. You're having to, worry about, being abusive. You know, you just, you know, guy being an asshole to you guys. And now you're having to walk to school. You're playing football. I mean, I'm guessing you probably took some of that aggression out in football.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a great release. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and so the way I think about it is, like, when you're, I come from a very small town, nothing like you, like I look like the Taj Mahal compared to what you came from. But you like legit grew up in this like poverty situation, crazy situation all the way around. And, for most kids, it's hard when you're in that situation to be able to like dream big or like understand what's possible. Like even coming from a small town, I struggle with it. Like I had no clue I would accomplish what I did until I got older and realized it was a legit opportunity. But when you're a kid, like that was not an option. We didn't think about those things. Like, did you ever imagine that you would even become a business owner when you were younger or be as successful as you guys have become?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, for me, it was, you don't know when you're in a bad situation. You don't know you're really in how bad the situation was until you get out.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you're going, holy shit, did I put up with all that? Like, I mean, so no, I mean, my plan was just to get out there, get on my own, get a decent job that I could support myself and my family. And once I got that, it's like, okay, what's next? And it was always, for me, it was always what's next. Yeah. Okay. Once I hit there, okay, what can I do next? What's next? And then pretty soon, then you're like, okay, well, let's go start our own business. And
that's your life, how it goes. Well, you skipped so much already.
Oh yeah.
And that's fine. Cause I want to talk about it. It's because what I'm getting at is I want people to hear that as shitty and poor as your situation is, that you were able to accomplish so many things, but I want them to understand how it developed your mental toughness. Right. So because statistically you should not be where you're at.
Right.
But I, you know, like I was telling you ahead of the podcast was, I actually think, but also maybe you are because of the way you're able to, and you know, handle that, you know, all of that, and then use it for good as you move forward.
Right.
And I think what it boils down to is a lot like me is we're just kind of willing to do the work.
Right.
You know, and if that meant, oh, hey, we started a business. Great. Looks like we just started a business right. And here we go.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, like, for you, is that, was there something like different about you? That kind of set you apart from being that statistic, or was it like a mindset thing? Was it a person like that kind of maybe helped you or like,
what? No, I mean, I think it was just the hard work. I mean, what we're living out there is hard work. I mean, we're hauling water. I mean, we're cutting wood. We're doing all these chores. And then you go to a 9-to-5 and you're going, okay, yeah, this ain't that hard. You know what I mean? This ain't that hard. And I've dealt with worse than that. So it's just the toughness. You know, we see it today in the kids. They don't have no struggles and they can't figure stuff out and they can't push through the hard times and hard things, which that's what you need to do. That's the only way to get through it is push through the hard.
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blue On users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts, only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blue On, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blue On. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
You're spending thousands to make the phone ring. But if your CSRs aren't picking up or converting, you might as well light it on fire. And what are the largest businesses in the country doing about this? They use Avoca, the leading AI platform in the trades. $100 million businesses like H.L. Bowman are operating with only 9 CSRs because Avoca handles up to 80% of the calls. Plus, Avoca follows up with your leads, grades your CSR calls, and helps you strategize. So my suggestion, go with the leading company. Check out avoca.ai. That's avoca.ai. Click the link below. Yeah, you go, but you know, when you go through it, you're actually, as shitty as it is, you're actually learning quite a bit. But you got to come out the other side with like a plan, right?
Right.
To absolutely. Take what you just went through and how do I not let this shit happen to me again?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I also, you can also see how somebody would turn to drugs and just being an alcoholic and shit like that.
100%.
Right?
And I mean, we dealt with drug abuse and stuff through our family, yeah. Both sides of my family. But that was one of the things, I guess, maybe I seen that and I seen that it didn't work for those guys. So yeah. That's why I'm pretty for, I mean, yeah, I drink, but as for drugs, I stay away from that stuff. I seen what it does to people.
Yeah. And so you're like, you lose control when you do that. And it's like, yeah, and I've seen what other people do. Like, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That worked out good for you.
Absolutely. I mean, so, I mean, it kept me on straight and narrow for the most part.
And Kelly.
And well, Kelly, 100% the main driver there.
For sure. Yes. So I want to pivot to that real quick too. So you, how were you when you and Kelly met? She was in high school. She was
so she was 16. I'm about a year and a half older than her. So I was right about 17, 18 years old. Yeah. She was sophomore in high school.
Got it. So you, and then you started working for, I think it was Klondike at the time. Was that?
Or well, that was before. So before I started where I had was working for a little plumbing company, doing some plumbing and stuff. Once I started dating Kelly, her dad worked for Klondike. And he's like, yeah, if you're going to date my daughter, you need to get a real man, a man's job. You know, I'm like, and my father-in-law, I mean, drill sergeant and ex cop. So there's no messing around with him. He's like, okay, this is what the path you're going to take. Here you go.
So you meet Kelly, but you're kind of down this path though, of getting into that whole, because actually what's kind of crazy is even like some of the family and the friends are all in the same business and we're even like competing against each other. Like yes. Competitive at companies doing trends.
Absolutely.
So you and Kelly are been together. You guys decide you're going to start your own business. And you guys co-found Arizona Trench Company. And that's in 2013.
Yeah, September 2013 is when we started.
And what was cool is like, you know, kind of like Anna and I, when we started Rhino, it's you and Kelly's skills, like, you know, complementing one another. So which worked out, you know, really well. But, you know, when you're going through this, you know, and you guys have, you know, CJ and you had Hope and you have Maddie and you have like kids and you're trying to grow the businesses. Like how did you guys balance, you know, like your relationship? I mean, you're younger, right? Your relationship, the business, just like life in, you know, general, when really like everything's on the line and you're like, let's just go do it ourselves and,
right.
You know, and figure it out.
Well, as for working with Kelly, I mean, we worked together since she got out of high school. I mean, she's always been on the finance. I was on the operations side. So when we started a business, I mean, we had both pieces of the puzzle. So it was pretty easy for that. And then for us, it was, I wanted to have something to leave to my kids. We wanted to make something generational. So when we started our company, I mean, that was the goal. And we knew, especially first 5-6 years, it was going to be hard. no vacations. I don't think we took a vacation for the first year and a half, 2 years of business. Because not that we couldn't afford it or we didn't have the time. It was, we were so focused on making, because there was no option. We have to make this thing successful.
There's no plan B.
There's no plan. Yeah. I mean, we took out all of our retirement to start this thing and there was no plan B.
Yeah, I love it. And to be a spoiler, ultimately these guys end up selling to a Fortune 500 company. But I just want to share a couple of numbers how the business like progressed, which I think is cool. Because really, you guys started, in 2018, you're sitting at a little over 7 million. 19, you're sitting a little over 12 million. You guys had a hell of a jump from, 19 to 20.
Yeah.
Another $10 million bump, nearly 100%.
Yeah.
Growth almost. And then all the way up until you guys, exited, brought on your, Quanta as your main company in private equity, or I guess it's not private equity. But they ended up acquiring Arizona Trench, which you guys still run, but you and Kelly were the co-founders and president. You were the co-founders and you were the president.
Correct.
Yeah. And you get a company like Quanta. That's how many billion dollar?
I don't even know at this point. I know it's in the billion. It's like, I think 25 billion or something.
Yeah, I saw it.
Is what we're going to be doing this year, which is crazy number. And they're everywhere. I mean, every state has two or three companies and they let everybody runs independent. So you're not going to see a big Quanta truck. It's going to be an Arizona Trench truck at the Quanta service company, Mears truck that's a Quanta service company. And everybody keeps their own identity, which is really cool. But all together, we're just,
it's crazy to think that 20 plus billion dollars of, and you're digging trenches, bro.
Yeah. just for our trench.
Run a conduit, digging trenches, baby.
Hey, they always say you're going to end up digging trenches for the rest of your life. Well, it paid pretty well for me. Sometimes it pays well.
Shit. All I had to do is learn how to use a shovel. You remember when I did in your office one time, the internet went out and, I had to do a podcast in in your conference room.
Yep.
And it was with, Mario Camperano. He was a Mexican trencher. Like that guy in your office. He did trench in early in his career. And then he had a great residential electrical business over in Southern California. But it was cool to kind of just see how I'd like the progression of your business grow and scale and to be friends with you along the journey, because you and I kind of went through the process at the same time and you ended up selling before, we did, even though we started before you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it done before we did. But it was like, what a gift for us to be able to go through it at the same time.
Yeah. Oh,
and to be able to kind of celebrate together and then go through the postmortem together, go through all those things. But it's interesting because, you talk about you being really good at operations and Kelly was good on the financial side. The difference was you also were in sales because you were having to go and sell jobs and stuff like that. I was really sales and marketing. I wasn't running any of the business. Anna was really operational and finances. But I've learned, from you, it is, this is going to make you uncomfortable. That's why I'm going to do it. But one thing that I appreciate about you and why I think that you've been super successful is because, when it comes to networking, I'm going to go out and have to meet people for a bit. Like, that's not your thing. You don't love that type of stuff.
Not at all.
I can totally do it. It's like, for me, it's nothing to go get dropped in the room and go make friends with people. I can totally do those things.
I envy that about you.
You don't like to do it, but, what's weird is that you're actually really great at relationships. So if I made an introduction to one person, boom, you're off to the races because then you can have all kinds of conversations and you're good because you're easy to talk to. And because we've had these conversations, I think what also is very helpful for you, and I have to believe some of the shit comes from your past, but you're super intuitive, you're smart, you're resourceful, which you have to be in business. You're super competitive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have this thing where when we go on our trips, we're called the Yanders, which is the Yano and the Sanders together, Charlie's last name Sanders. And then when we go to Castle Hot Springs, they've got all these different little games and stuff, whether it be cornhole or golf, bocce ball.
Whatever we can do.
And so we have the Anders games.
Yep.
Now that we're getting older, we have to watch our ankles and our knees blown out of ACLs.
But you're super competitive, just, you know, just like me. The other thing is, like, you know, I appreciate about you is you'll do pretty much anything for anybody. You really care about people. And, I think the thing that it's most admirable is, you know, whatever you do, you're trying to do it the right way. Like, right. you don't want to screw somebody. You're trying to do it everything the right way. And people want to be led by you.
Right.
And that's a pretty fucking cool feeling. And like, people want 100%. To be led by you. Now, you to look at it as like, well, I'm just kind of doing what I do. Like, this is just right. how I roll. But like, what is it, man, that people just want, you know, like, why do people want to work for you? Like, what is it that you're doing that's so different, you know, that people want to be, because you and I are very different.
Right, right. So for me, it's, I care, you know what I mean? And they can tell when you care about them and not just what you're getting out of them. So, I mean, we care about our employees. I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's ATC, the family, it's ATC family. And we care about your wives. We care about your kids. I mean, that was probably one of the most stressful things about having a company for me day to day was I have 200 plus mouths to feed. And so I took that very personal. I mean, there wasn't no work, I'm scrounging and I'm calling people and I'm leveraging all my relationships to like, hey, what do you got? And we love our, and we care about our client. We care about doing a good job for them and our reputation. You know what I mean? Cause that's, I think, that pushed all the growth, is that whatever they need, our client needed, we were there for them.
Well, you're in like a niche too, kind of like me. Like, yeah. You have like a super niche though.
Yeah, we're in a super niche, but, and it's all about maintaining those relationships and your reputation. I mean, if everybody messes up, you go mess up, you own it, make it better, make it right. And so it's all about caring about everybody. And if you just care about everybody, they see that. And they see that you're not out there just trying to get as much money as you can from the client or work these guys extra without paying them a little more. You know, it's once if they think they're taken care of, they were all in.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and it has to be like authentic.
100%.
It just gets harder when you get so big. Like when you have so many people. It like does. I remember coming to your Christmas parties, you know, over the years and like mm-hmm. seeing it, this thing grow and scale, kind of like you've been to ours and seen the
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets fucking hard once you get really big.
It gets really hard. But if you can push that down to your leaders below you, and we're all in the same group. So, and now I'm trying to, I have to just keep pushing that into my leaders and make sure they're pushing it into the next level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just got to all push down. Cause if I care about them, then they're going to care about their guys. And so on and so forth. But it does get hard. It gets hard to know everybody's name like we used to.
Sure.
When we were 30, 50 employees.
Yeah. So you got to rely on your leaders who are actually like a little bit closer to all the people. Totally agree. I mean, and you've got nobody to hold you accountable except you and Kelly holding right. each other accountable.
Yeah.
But there's nobody really holding you accountable for anything. So you just kind of got to go and do yeah. the things. So real quick, I mean, you guys saw such like great success, you know, and that massive, you know, 100% jump from, you know, 12 to 22 between 19 and 20.
Yeah.
I mean, in COVID, which is
yeah, yeah, crazy. Yeah.
And then to kind of, you know, keep growing from, you know, 22, you had that like 2020 to 2021 was a smaller growth, which we're going to hit on.
Yeah.
Then hit up to 28 million, then 35, but you sold, you know, at 28, which is Big ditch digging business.
Yes, yes.
But once you guys did your deal, was it harder letting go than you expected?
Absolutely.
Like, what emotions came with the
whole? So yeah, I mean, it's anything you build, especially from like what we did was ground up. I mean, we started with five people in my garage at my house, you know, and we were built it into 100 plus employees by the time we had sold. And it's always hard to give up something you've grown.
Right.
What we were lucky about is, I mean, that was, it's one of the reasons we sold to Quanta is their offer let us keep running our business the way we ran it before.
And just support you.
Just support yeah. it. I mean, obviously when you go from publicly or independent right, to private or publicly traded, there's other avenues that you gotta be in compliance with. But other than that stuff, still the same company. I just got to answer to somebody now.
Well, you have to try and maintain the culture of the business too. And they allow you to do these things
for sure.
Because that was a whole other thing, right? Because everybody always expects the worst, you know? Right. What's going to change for me? And
I mean, one of our biggest discussions early on with our employees that were, was when every Monday morning we have a safety meeting and we pray. We pray as a group, and they were worried that corporate was going to shut that down. And corporate's like, no, you guys do your thing. You know, you guys do what you do. I mean, obviously we can't ostracize anybody or leave anybody left out, but it's open. You want to pray, you pray. If you don't, you don't. It is what it is. But I mean, it's the little things that we were able to hold on to that Quanah's like, hey, you guys are your own people.
Seems like a really cool situation because, like, you get to celebrate what you've built by bringing on Quanah, yet and get some nice financial security, but then you still get to, like, you know, we still have kids in school, so we got to keep going. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So you get to keep going, and you kind of still get to run it, but now you get to run it with a lot of extra support, help, buying power, like all kinds of cool stuff. But the most important thing you said that was that you picked the right partner. This is where a lot of people go sideways.
Absolutely. I mean, it wasn't the best offer or the biggest offer,
right,
but it was for sure the best play for me and Kelly and my guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opportunity with Quanah, I mean, obviously we're in every state and Australia, Puerto Rico, like we're everywhere. So, I mean, that's why a lot of our stuff's branded ATC now, because we're in Colorado, we're in New Mexico. I mean, we're not just Arizona Trench Company anymore. We're Trench Company.
A Trench Company.
So, I mean, we would have never in a million years thought that we were going to be outside of Arizona. But with Quanah, hey, we got this opportunity. You want it? Got this opportunity. And so you start going, yeah, sure. And that's how you grow. I mean, that was kind of one of our reasons for selling was I got it to a point where I didn't think we could get to that next big level without some help.
Yeah. I get it.
Especially being a niche, you know what I mean?
Do you still think that?
Yes and no. Yes, because we would have just stayed in our little cocoon, our niche work, and that's where we would have stayed. Where now we're expanding into substations and some other work that we would have never chased out of state work, which we would have probably never chased before. Yeah. Quanah, and Quanah's like, no, why don't you just come up here and do this? I'll be in Denver all next week for our big project that we're doing up in Denver with a sister company.
Yeah.
So we would have never done that with.
Yeah, I mean, I kicked that whole thing around too. It's like, and I actually do think that. But you don't know, right? And you think you're making a really, really, like you're making the best decision you can make with the knowledge that you got, right? And I think these last few years for me have been some of the hardest for me because I had to like learn what my purpose needed to, had to shift because the business is now an investment, but I care about the employees and the customers. Yeah. And it's like, so I have to shift with it. And you basically kind of got to fight a little bit, right? To make sure you get to maintain those things. And by the way, like the business is great. It's just that I personally was like, man, how do I fit into this puzzle when you're used to being, the leader of this thing? But I learned so much these last couple of years, and that I do believe that Ann and I could have done this without private equity help at this point. I do believe that at some point we would have needed to, but you don't know. Right.
Right.
And by the way, like, my private equity company, is supportive of us, and we're kind of getting back, and on track. You've obviously know all about everything for, that we go through because we tell you everything. But nothing like you guys went through.
Right.
So I'm going to make a hard transition. So let's take a drink first. I'm drinking Knob Creek maple syrup. Knob Creek smoked maple. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Eagle Rare.
A little Eagle Rare, yeah. Okay, I know you don't like the maple stuff, and normally I don't either, but this one is one I really like. So this is going to be a pretty hard transition to, and it's just so everybody that's listening knows too, like this is a pretty hard pivot, and it'll probably be the most difficult part of the conversation because this is far more difficult than anything else that like his childhood that he came up and how he grew up. But it's such an important part to the story because as we sit here today, you work under a Fortune 500 company that bought a company that you started from scratch. You and Kelly started from scratch, built into this great business, and you could still continue to scale. And you guys are both extremely valuable leaders. Fortune 500 company, you guys are very valuable people. So you mean a lot to this big-ass company who has tens of thousands of employees, like some crazy number.
Yeah, I think we're 60,000 employees.
Okay, so a little bit more than 10,000, whatever. 20-some-odd billion-dollar organization. That's got to feel pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I say that knowing that, you know, once you get, when you're going through all this, it's already hard enough. And then back in, it would have been March 1st of 2021, probably the most, if not the most difficult day of your entire life.
By far.
So you, I mean, that's when your life would change forever. Now, obviously you have not sold the business at this time. You're still, you're in it.
We were, we were mid acquisition when this happened. And yeah, so, and obviously that put everything on hold, but you're just reeling.
I'll never forget it. I know exactly where I was when I got this phone call. And, this is one of those situations where, I get a phone call and my wife tells me that Hope, your daughter,
Berkeley's best friend,
my daughter's best friend has passed away. So, you know, and it's something where I was like, what? She's, you know, 13.
Yeah.
You know, and, March 1st, 2021, the beginning of the year. And the thing that no one likes to talk about and you don't quite understand is how someone dies. People automatically always wonder, like, how did they die? What happened?
Yeah.
You know, and people don't like to talk about suicide, but it's a thing that has to be talked about. It gets swept under the rug so much because of the stigma attached to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And the hardest part for me, for you, is that you are the one that found her.
Correct.
Right? Nothing else matters in that moment except for like that is it. Like, how do we fix this?
And
you who are naturally a fixer,
right?
Like you, that's what you grew up in that space. Yeah. You can't fix that.
There is no fixing
that situation. And anybody who's listening to this, who's ever been through it can completely relate to Charlie. Or if you know a friend, you know, you can relate. I mean, my God, like to us, she was a daughter. So we felt it.
Yeah.
The same.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and it was heartbreaking for us and having to tell Berkeley was like, awful, right? Like having that was awful. And so we all got to go through it, you know, together, but I just can't, you know, in that moment though, you know, I wondered a few things, you know, as we went through like the days and the weeks moving on. I was like, how, you know, like, these guys have all, you know, I get we all have our personal lives, but they also have a big business with a lot of people relying on them. And you can take a little bit of time, but like, what's this thing going to look like for them? Are they going to recover from it? I don't know that I could recover from that. But like, maybe just talk through what was that time like for you, Kelly, the family, and like the company, because you had that little, like company didn't grow a whole bunch between 20 and 21. Like you're dealing with all this stuff. Maybe just kind of talk through like the raw, like how did life go for you at that point across the board?
What's up to the point, listeners? If you're working with the marketing agency to drive traffic, what happens when a customer lands on your website? Contractor Commerce helps top contractors like Summit Heating, who generated over $500,000 in new install revenue using instant estimates for HVAC systems, water heaters, and generators right on their website. And companies like my boy Chatty Peas, Peterman Brothers, are building recurring revenue with a touch-free filter delivery program powered by Contractor Commerce. Rhino brings the leads. Contractor Commerce helps you close them. It's a good 1-2 punch. Visit contractorcommerce.com to start e-commerce today. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
I mean, we went on autopilot. I mean, like, this was a Monday Monday afternoon. I think we didn't care about the business. We didn't care about anything. We couldn't focus on anything other than our family at that point in time. And we still have two kids that we got to take care of and do that. But we're just on autopilot. I mean, thank God we have our ATC family. Yeah. Everybody just jumped in and covered us. Our client was understanding. I mean, I have personal relationships with a lot of our client. So once they heard, they're like, yep, we get it. My phone stopped ringing. Everything went to my number twos and threes, and our client worked with our employees to make sure that a lot of the stress was off of us, and we'll get through it. And they kind of took it over there. I mean, I think we were gone a month, I think, before I actually stepped back in. Once we were able to get Hope buried and everything else, and we went back. And at that time, none of those guys are with us or salespeople or so our work was dwindling down, and which kind of helped me, because then that kind of lit a fire, like, hey, I got to get back and I got to go do my job, which was a great break from day-to-day thinking about a Hope. And it got my mind off of it a little bit. So that it for sure helped push me in the right direction.
You know, I think that, I would be guilty of the same thing, but I will also think it's unhealthy. Like, cause you basically just mask it with work.
Yeah.
I'll just work.
Yeah.
I've done that so many times. Mm-hmm. And, but I get it. Like, my God, well, what else can you go do? Just get hammered the whole time, or like mad? Like, that's what a lot of people do.
Right.
Right.
And with my family background, I didn't drink. I didn't drink until Hope was, everything was settled with Hope, because I was afraid to go down that rabbit hole. And I don't know if I would have been able to get out had I.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, well, you know, and it is hard, because especially when you have other kids, you got two others.
I got two other kids I got to worry about.
Yeah. And you got to think about that. And you have to be there for Kelly. She's got to be there for you. And like, and if you guys aren't like there for each other, there's no way you can be there for your team, your employees.
Absolutely.
Like, but the thing is, I just can't even imagine that I think that the thing that probably breaks my heart the most for you is that you will never be able to get the visual out of your head of that situation.
Yeah.
So you have to, and this is where I'm actually also grateful that you have such good mental fortitude, is I think some of those things early on in your life in some weird ways have prepared your mental toughness for, not that this is like how I wish it would have went, or you like that was going to happen, but at least you're super strong, you know, because it would be difficult, you know, to kind of get back on track, because it would take one, you know, thought and you're like right back down that damn path.
100%.
You know? And the only reason I bring it up is like, obviously it's hard, but the worst thing we could do is not talk about it. You know, one thing that you said to me, like, you know, because obviously we were trying to make sure we checked in on you guys, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, because, and not because they don't want to talk about it, like, to be mean, it's just nobody knows how, or the awkwardness of bringing it up, or how you're going to feel.
And is it going to hurt worse? Is it going to help, or is it going to hurt?
Yeah. And there's often this stigma around suicide that's like, you know, it's like, maybe regret, or like not regret. Well, you probably have some regrets, or like, what could I, or shame.
It's all, you're always going to go down the what if rabbit hole, and you just can't, because it doesn't help. Because you're always going to go down the, well, if I would have done this, if I would have done that, what about this? What about that? Especially with Hope, because there was no signs. Like, we didn't know, we knew nothing.
Right.
So we were like totally in left field. Like, we had no clue. I mean, you remember earlier, like, kind of unfortunate. We were kind of badgering Berkeley because Berkeley was her closest friend. Like, did she say anything? Did you know anything? She didn't say nothing. Anybody from what I can, we can find. So that's, I mean, so that just leaves all the open, but you just can't do it because it just doesn't help. Nothing helps.
Hey, you beat yourself up. The what ifs.
Yeah.
Well, beat yourself up. Yeah. And it was, you know, for those that are listening, like, I'm talking about great family, like nice home, kids didn't want for anything. Like, I'm talking love. Like, it was like, it's not like just like you bought them. Like, you guys were a very, very, very close family. We were close. Like, we're all close.
Yeah.
So it was like completely out of left field, which is a whole other thing you got to try and figure out. Like, what in the hell? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, and you just have to like be okay with never actually having the answer. And that sucks. And all this at the same time, while you're trying to manage a, you know, 20 plus million dollar, you know, company with a lot of people who rely on you. And the fact that they step up and help you is great. It says a lot about the culture of the business, the people in your business.
Yeah.
But even that fizzles out at some point. The business has to thrive. But you see, like, by the results, like, the year was just kind of meh. Took you a minute to kind of get back on board.
Yeah.
But what was it that, like, what was it that helped from others the most? Like, at some point, the worst thing I do is probably the worst thing that you do. Like, I keep so much shit just bottled up, and I don't talk about anything to anybody, and I just take it, which is so unhealthy. Right. I still struggle with that from time to time.
It is, and it is. I mean, we're the men. I mean, that's our, unfortunately, that's our job. I mean, our job is to make sure everybody else is. And for me, what helped me was, is I still have to take care of them. Like, I need to make sure they're okay. My stuff, I mean, I'm the man. That's my job. But what helped us the most was, I mean, you were there. Our, my family and friends surrounded us for weeks, months. And we were, they were, everybody was around taking care of anything we could possibly need. Just trying to make, especially the first couple weeks, easier. Just being around people helped, you know? But you know, I mean, all of our friends, all of our family constantly being around us just helped us get moving past it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that one thing that's always helpful, at least that, I can remember talking to Kelly about this too, and to you at dinner one night, and it was talking about how, just talking about stories of hope. Like, she always had that stupid like bun on top of her head that flopped around all over the place.
Sloppy,
you know,
bun.
You know, I'd call her Hopi One, Canopy. Well, I had her names for her. Or, you know, we go on, you know, our trip to Hilton Head, you know, and the girls are up until like daylight in the room, messing around. We're all pissed at them, but at the same time, we're all kind of like, that's kind of the shit that you do when you're on
memories.
Vacation.
It's memories that they were building.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we had that, like, with her. So it is fun to like reminisce and talk about those stories. I wonder, you know, if Hope could hear this interview, what do you think she would say about like the man there, like the person that you've become since then? Because, you know, like, we have to believe she can, you know, she can see all what's going on. Like, and if she is, I hope, I hope you know how awkward this makes your dad. But like, what do you think that she would think about like who you've become, like, since then?
I mean, I'm hoping she knows that we're trying to keep her memory alive. I mean, we're trying to make sure that everybody knows about her, what she was about. I mean, what really matters is that we're prioritizing God and our family is number one over everything else.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we do that by continuing to share stories, you know, with her, and, you know, and thank God this is where Facebook's great.
Yeah.
Because you can repost all the stories and the posts and stuff all the time.
All of her stuff keeps popping up.
Yeah, I and like, so, and then, and it's, and then as you see the, like, her, you know, the, her friends get older,
right?
You kind of just have that connection through. Yeah, the, you know,
I mean, last year, I mean, all of her friends graduated. She was supposed to graduate, so we were at a lot of graduation parties last year with, for all, celebrating all of her friends, and it was good. I mean, obviously, would have been better had we been worried about getting to our graduation party also,
of course. Well, and Berkeley, you know, this Berkeley put on her tassel, you know, her picture of Hope on there. So like, those are the kind of things that's like, good for you guys. Absolutely. Too, and for us.
Oh,
you
it know, was, who, I mean, yeah.
Who care about her?
For sure.
Did you, did your priorities, like as a business owner, kind of shift after that moment? Like, you know, the grief, the going through all that, or grief, or like just like the outcome of it, changed the way that you view like success, or, you know, your legacy, if you've ever thought about that, or just even like your value of time? Like, did it change any of those things for you? You're kind of like, oh, I kind of went into it and this was my why. Now my why is this. Like, any of that stuff shift?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it actually shifted our focus on that. I needed to make sure that I'm spending more family time, and I needed to get the business. I needed to get the business where I could step away and enjoy the vacations and the stuff that we do together as a family. Cause at the end of the day, that's what's the most important.
Yeah.
So it shifted that way. Obviously, you know, me and Kelly, and it's hard for us to let go of some of the pieces, but we started backfilling those pieces of leadership right below us and letting go, get some more stuff off our plate so that we could enjoy those.
Yeah. So you shifted because you just never know.
You never know.
You just never know. And actually, I think for us too, it was also good for me and Anna and our family, because it also made us shift. Like, yeah. Man, we've been grinding, you know, and we need to do the same thing. And these kids aren't getting any younger. So that was also like a pivot. And I'm proud because we go on so many awesome trips.
We're going on a lot of trips.
We are now lords.
Yes.
We are lords. So I and Charles are both lords, because we are land lords in Scotland.
Scotland,
Cumbria.
Yes.
And, you know, it might be 3x3 foot piece of land, but we are lords.
But we're lords.
And, you know, that was a fun trip. So we've been able to, you know, do a lot of fun stuff and create a lot of cool memories together from this, which I think is also a gift that was given to us from Hope.
Yeah.
Was, you know, we're going out and we're living life, you know, we're doing all the things, and we're getting Kelly out of her comfort zone a lot more.
Yes. Yes. We're letting Kelly get a little freer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I love it. I mean, she's, you're welcome, Kelly, by the way, because I know she'll listen to this and then critique everything I'm saying.
Well, you'll hear about it.
But like I said, I kind of look at that as like, that was just a little bit of another gift that, you know, that we got. I wonder, you know, did you ever, when like all this was going down, did you ever consider of like just walking away from it all? Like, just saying,
I mean,
I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you can't, honestly.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, I didn't know if we were going to be able to go. I mean, I mean, I didn't know how, especially that first month, I didn't know if I could go back to work. And I mean, would I be there? Even if I was at work, am I going to be the same, you know? Yeah. We pushed harder into the acquisition, because then I needed to make sure that everybody at ATC was okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter if me and Kelly kind of fall off the deep end, at least they get, there's somebody to come backfill and make sure that they get through this. But as we kept going, it's like you said, I mean, it's our reputation. So we just got back into the grind, and then, I mean, we don't want to disappoint anybody, you know, and then made a commitment to Quanta, and I want to make sure that we did our part. So that kind of helped me push through the hard times, because that's the only thing you can do. Just keep pushing.
Yeah. I think that's pretty thoughtful. You know, to go through something like that, but still kind of be thinking about how you leave everyone else.
Right.
You know, and like securing the future. I mean, obviously Quanta is publicly traded, and I'm I have stock in Quanta. keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate it so much. We did that because of you. We believed in ATC.
We appreciate you.
You know, but it is, you know, in some ways though too, it's like you do kind of get back into a routine, you know, and I think routines can be good. I think routines can be bad. But once you're back in that routine, you kind of just are like, you know what, like we might as well just keep going and see what else we can do and accomplish. And
yeah,
seems like that's what you guys have been doing.
For sure.
So I just, you know, I wondered, I figured we should use this opportunity, cause you know, hopefully 30,000 some odd people hear this episode.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty cool. Is there something about Hope or her spirit, her heart, or her story, or anything that you want people to remember her by, who don't, or who don't know her, like know about her. Like,
yeah, you know. I mean, she was just, she was so loving and innocent. She was one of those ones. She's fragile. She was like super fragile girl. She would get in trouble for doing, leaving her clothes out, this and that. If I have to raise my voice, it's, she's in her room just crying, not, and not throwing a fit, not yelling, not screaming, just in there. And then I'd have to go in and I'm like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, we just gotta, we just gotta put our stuff away. We gotta do our homework, whatever the case would be. But like me raising my voice would just like break her. But she was just so gentle, so caring. I mean, she loved her pets and her aunt and her friends. Like she loved big for sure. Yeah. She's all about the love.
She was super sweet. And like, once you could get, like, you had to be closer to her, I think, to get her to open up a little bit to you.
For sure.
You know, and when you did, you kind of got a pretty cool version, you know, of her, but yeah, she's a total sweetheart. You know, she looked like you a little bit.
She did. She was my twin for sure.
Maddie looks like, I mean, Kelly.
Poor girl. It looked like me.
Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate. From the first Google search to the driveway, Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific brand design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
Yeah, I, you know, it is, I mean, this is the kind of part of it where I just kind of sit here and I think through like all the good memories I have of her and them being kids. Oh, by the way, fun fact, you'll remember this because this is how Charlie and I met. Was, I'm not going to tell the whole story, not all of it. But yeah, we are kids with the North Valley Christian Academy. And you know, the girls were young. I mean, they were
right.
Girls. And so, we're at a father daughter dance. I think it was like, I can't remember if we were, it was like the 50s or whatever.
I think it was. Yeah. Yeah. 50s like sock hop or
and
something.
And the girls were friends that we had, you know, we hadn't like quite met yet.
Yeah.
And I remember asking Charlie, who's this big, like tough man's man guy. And here I am trying to be funny. Say, well, you want to dance? And he said, nope. I was like, okay, this guy is not, he's not picking up on my jokes. Okay. But then, you know, it is funny. Cause then from there, like we hung out the first time we hung out, it was, I can't remember if I ever reached out on Facebook and then Kelly researched me like she would always do and find out like, who is this guy? Can we really hang out with him? Is it somebody we can hang out with? Because you know, never know. Like if we're going to work out, like, it's a Christian school. And then it turns out that night we hung out for 4 or 5 some odd hours. We had to kick us out.
I think you guys came to drop Berkeley off at 8, 9 o'clock and stayed 3 o'clock. We around closed her down.
That's how we knew it was.
But it just went, it went smooth. It was, you know, and when you're having a good time, you don't want it to end.
Yeah, man. And that's cool. And so I'm, you know, I think that I'm just grateful for everything. Like we're so thankful for you guys on like so many different levels. And like, you know, to our listeners, I really hope you have somebody in your life that's like that too. And, you know, and maybe not necessarily it's went through what Charlie's went through, but you know, somebody that you're close with that you can kind of share things with, do life with, because at the end of the day, like all this hard work on this business and stuff has got to be more than just business. Like, it's like, what is right. it applying to your life? Like your livelihood, your personal right. life, your memories, like all the things that actually really matter.
Yeah.
You know, and the, and you know, one thing that you could have done, you and Kelly both could have done, is you could have folded, mm-hmm. you know, you could have folded, and people would have understood, you know, or you could have just been, you know, went through it, maybe gave up on like the business or like, but it was going to do nobody any good, you know, anyone any good. And so I'm really grateful for you two. And just like, you know, I'm glad that we were able to be there for you. I'm glad that you guys, you know, leaned on each other and just kept pushing through because you were such a blessing to so many people. That wouldn't have got that from you had you guys not pushed through that shitty situation, right. you know? And so the worst thing we could do is not talk about it.
Right.
I think Absolutely. That's the worst thing that we could do is not, otherwise it's like, what good was it?
Right.
Like, you know, there's nothing good that comes from it. So I know you, you started to go and like, you're going to meet with like a, you know, a dad or something like that, or maybe something like that. Like
are you
starting to like open up and talk about it a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, and me and Kelly, of course, are total opposites.
Of course.
She doesn't want to talk about it.
She cringes that we're even doing this.
She cringes that we're even talking about it, where me, I'm just, I got to embrace it. Mm-hmm. If my story, anything that I say can help anybody, I mean, it puts some light on a sour subject. But I had a friend reach out, and he wanted me to talk to one of his friends that had recently went through the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, yeah, I mean, if I can help anybody, why wouldn't I? I spent probably a good hour with him trying to just talk him.
Oh, through. Good. So you did do it.
Yeah. Well, that was the first one. I think you're talking about another recent one. And I talked it through with them, and that's like, hey, because everybody wants to know, like, well, when does it stop hurting? Well, it doesn't. Oh. It never does.
Yeah.
It just gets more tolerable. Is it probably about the best I can say? It does dulls a little bit. But then I'm like, okay, is this what God wants me to do? Does he want me to help people deal with this situation? So yeah, and then I've had another one since then. They didn't end up reaching back out, but the option was there for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you're doing it because it's such like this secretive thing, and the best way for somebody to be comfortable opening up to it is to be able to relate.
Right.
And the only way somebody can relate is if they know,
they
know that you went through the same thing. So there's only one way to figure it out. Cause if you keep it in secret and you just like, are like, oh, I'm ashamed. Like you gotta let go of that at some point.
But
there's nothing you could have done differently that I can think of that would have changed.
Right. The problem is everybody wants to internalize that. Was it my fault? Was it her sister's fault or brother? Somebody at school, like
trying to find an answer,
trying to find an answer, and it's never going to work. It what happened happened. We can't change it.
No.
God hopefully has the plan, the better plan than we do. We just can't see it yet.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of that is like what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I think about it like, you know, cause I do not believe in coincidences. It's convenient that I have a platform that speaks to tens of thousands of people,
right?
You know, every single month.
Yeah.
And we can share your story as one of my best friends.
Yeah.
You know, that we can share this. And I pray to God that from this particular episode that it is able to, I mean, if it impacts one dude, one person, this was worth it, right?
For sure.
Like, this was worth
for
it.
Sure.
So, I think that's like a pretty good spot to maybe transition because it feels good, you know, like to know like, hey, if this has happened you know, to you and you're in business, you're not alone. There's certainly light at the end of the tunnel. Might be a little dimmer than it used to be, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And there's certainly people to talk through it with you who can relate to being in business and how you get through it and stuff like that. I'm going to finish with this with kind of the beginning in mind. Yeah. And it is, I used to use this all the time as a sales tactic.
Yeah.
I'm not using it that way right now. I'm using it as like a motivation, an inspiration.
Inspiration. Okay.
Yeah. But if you could put, you know, one sentence, and if you need to take a drink so you can think about it, that's totally fine. But if you could put one sentence on a billboard in the middle of the desert where you grew up, you know, so no middle of nowhere, yeah. But if somebody, you know, was to walk by and see it, what would it say?
I think it would say, it doesn't matter what hand you're dealt, hard work will get you through anything. And not just hard work physical, but hard work mentally, getting through hope, pushing, just grinding, pushing through the hard times, because it will get better. I guarantee it will always get better. There will be a better day. You just got to get through those rough days first.
I love it. I mean, there's a couple, you know, it's, life is hard no matter what. So we talked about this. You can choose your hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to not get what you want, and it's hard to get what you want.
Absolutely.
It's just the paths look a little bit different. Yep. One is easy, one's incredibly difficult, but it's hard. The end result is, you know, can be really good from the hard, or it can be shitty.
I mean, there's nothing we get that isn't hard work.
Fucking hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is hard, man. Yeah. Everything is hard.
Everything's hard.
My God, these businesses are hard.
Embrace the suck.
Being a Cardinals fan's hard.
Absolutely. Embrace the suck.
Embrace the suck. Dear God, I hope it's not hard this year. We could use a fucking break.
We need a break.
My
for
God.
Sure. We need a breakthrough.
Jesus. Well, dude, listen, thanks for doing this with me.
Of course, man.
You know,
great.
And like I said, it was probably the hardest prep I've ever done. I went through so many variations of questions trying to think how to make this podcast meaningful. And I just kept coming back to this, you know, self-belief, you know, and you're like this resilience, this, you know, mental fortitude, perseverance, like all the things that have to get you through life, business, all the things. But, you know, you're in the like 1% of the 1%.
Yeah. Which is crazy from a little kid from Morristown,
just
you know,
the mayor of Morristown. And you did it. And honestly, I could not be prouder to be your friend and to watch you like on that journey and to see what you guys have accomplished. And we love you guys so much. Right. And, and my hope is that everybody listening to this podcast, you know, kind of walks away with some sort of feeling of like, shit, man, like whether you believe or don't believe, you know, nothing is going to be harder than the shit that Charles Sanders and Kelly Sanders.
So I imagine there's people that have it harder than me, but I think even they can push through and they can make it through. They just gotta keep going.
Well, let me throw this out there, and I wasn't going to do it originally, but I will. You know, if you know, because usually I think the community is very small. Mm-hmm. Is it okay if I like share maybe just your like social media page or something, like ask them to reach out to you through social media or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, for
like
sure. For
yeah,
sure.
So if you would, let me know if you're friends with me on social media. You can just look at my friends list, or you can type in Charles Sanders. There's probably a lot of Charles Sanders. Yeah. But if you go to my my page and look at my friends, you'll find them. I mean, shit, you just got to look at some pictures.
Yeah. Look at the last vacation picture, and you know, I'll probably be there.
I think we're in Montana or some shit like that. But yeah, reach out to Charlie and you'll be happy to share with him.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, glad we finally got this thing done. I'm glad we did it in my bar.
Yes.
I'm glad I did it over a glass of bourbon with you.
All right.
I think if we would have went a couple more bourbons earlier, maybe we'd have went too deep. down rabbit holes.
We've been known to do that a time or two.
This has been a 2-hour long episode. I had to break up into three parts. But it's exciting to watch your journey, and it's even been cool for me because I've gotten to meet some of the Quanta folks, you know, and leadership and like the great people and shit. We go to the, you know, Waste Management Open together, and it's like we get to do life together. I'm grateful that we got to be here through all of it, you know, with you guys, not the beginning part. Right. I wasn't through the super hillbilly part.
Why weren't you?
I was doing my own hillbilly shit, man. Right. But it's cool to kind of get to do life with you and to our listeners. You know, like I said, I hope to God that you have, you know, a friend, like I have in Charlie Sanders, you know, in your lives, and that you have somebody you can lean on, you know, through thick and thin, and he'll be your ride or die. And if like shit goes south, I got to bury somebody in the desert, I know I'm called Charlie Sanders.
Trench crew, baby.
He knows how to dig some really good ditches. Listen, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing,
hit follow, and let's get to the point.